Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
But I've entitled the message, The Dream Giver. So the Dream Giver. Dreams. We all have them, don't we? Right? We all have dreams. Some we remember. Many of them we don't remember, do we? They happen when we're sleeping, deep sleep, don't remember. I think it's the ones in your REM sleep or your light sleep that you remember. Some are scary, right? Some are weird. You ever have weird dreams? You're just kind of like, where in the world did that come from, you know? Just weird. Some are depraved. I'd call them depraved. There's probably, ooh, you know, it's kind of like. Some are peaceful. Some are exciting. Have you ever wondered why God created us with the capacity to dream? Why did God create us with that? It's an interesting question. I remember where we lived in Harvey, North Dakota, our first place that we pastored. I would walk about half a block, and there was just this open field. I think they would hay it or whatever. It was just on the edge of town. And from there, at night especially, you could see all the stars. And, of course, like North Dakota, like Nebraska, you can have very good visibility of the stars. And I'd go out there, and I could always see the Big Dipper. Okay, that was one thing that was just right there. And I often, it was just in a time that I would really think, and I'd sometimes dream. I don't know why that was. But that was a time that God would maybe kind of speak to my heart and my life. And sometimes I would pray and just kind of put out things there before God, saying, God, you know, what was on my heart, I guess, to Him. We use the term to dream to express our desires or vision of what we would like life to look like, right? And it is also something that happens in the sense that we have this dream, right? Or we have a vision. Dreams are very personal, and they flow from the core of who we are, our hopes, our aspirations, our goals. Dreams are very important because they ignite our heart and our soul. Dreams are a visual image of what the future will look for like for us, or what we would like it to look like, right? We kind of have that picture. And so many times our heart yearns for that. It is excited about that. It is hopeful for that. And they propel us. They give us motivation, passion. You know what? It even gives us the desire to sacrifice to make those dreams come true, right? People are willing to sacrifice, right, for their dreams. It is not uncommon for people to that start up businesses. It's their dream, and they will take their life savings out, retirement, the whole bit, and they invest it in their startup business. Why? Because they have a dream, and they're willing to sacrifice that for the short term so that they can fulfill their dream. But what I've learned is that the older we get, the tendency is to dream less or smaller. You ever notice that? So in the class that I am just finishing up here this next week or two, had a portion just on dreams, in helping people to dream. And you know what? For all of us, I'm probably the older one out of the group, okay? The other ones are a little bit younger, not significantly, but probably in 40s. Maybe I think one in is, he wants to be debt-free in 6 years by 40, so he's 30, 34. So, but for all of us, this exercise of dreaming and kind of doing our dreams was hard. Why? Because in life, we hit obstacles, right? We learn at a young age. That's when we dream, right? We think about what we're going to become and you know, hey, I'm going to be a carpenter. I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to be a firefighter. I don't know. What was yours, huh? You ever think about that? Sometimes those dreams come true, right? And that's where God takes us. Other times, He changes it for us. But the danger is that as through life, we hit failure, we hit obstacles, life happens, and sometimes those dreams die, right? And sometimes we quit dreaming because reality begins to sink in, and we quit dreaming. One of the books that I read for my current class is by Bruce Wilkinson. Bruce Wilkinson, it's called The Dream Giver. The Dream Giver. And I purchased that just for today, and I was wanting to give that away. And so I'm going to give it to our guests here today, and I just sensed that God was wanting to do that. It's a quick read, and I think you'll benefit that. So good to have you guys here with us today. The Giver of Dreams. Dreaming is a difficult process, but it is an honest one. And I think, to be honest, dreams are hard to share because they are very personal and they're sacred. And we're really opening ourselves up. When we begin to share a dream, we have to be careful who we share it with, right? And so what that book talks about is even just the process of seeing our dreams come to life. And you know what? It even brings out that sometimes that the people that oppose us the most are the people that are closest to us. Family, friends, and so it's excellent read. It just walks you through that process. So as I was thinking about this idea of dreams, another illustration. How many saw I Can Only Imagine in the theaters? It's been shown in town here. It's been packed out about every night. But Bart, right, the key character in there, just noticed he had dreams, right? As he was a young kid, he was going to be, I don't know if he was going to be an astronaut, right, because he had the helmet. And his dad crushed his dream, right? He even took that helmet and threw it in the trash to be burned, right? And then he gets older and in high school, and he finds out he has a gift to sing. And his dad says, you know, that's great to have those dreams, but reality sinks in. You have to pay the bills, right? And eventually, the dad's dream was to play football, right? And something happened in there where you don't know exactly. He got hurt, he got injured, and that dream didn't happen. And see, that's what happens to a lot of us, and we stop dreaming. So as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of our passage here in Joel, and that's what I want us to look at this morning. Often when we talk about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, what are some of the things we think of? The gifts of the Spirit. Speaking other languages, prophecy, power, you will see power, right? That's usually what we think about, and that is part of the Holy Spirit was sent so that we would be equipped to do what God has called us to do, right? But in this passage in Joel, which is repeated in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, Peter quotes it, talks about something that I want us to look at this morning. So let's bow our heads in prayer, and then we'll dive in. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. I pray you would take it, apply it to our hearts, God. We thank you that your word speaks to us today, and we just believe by your Spirit. I just pray that you would open up our hearts to receive what you want to say to us today. We give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. Joel says, and Joel's in the Old Testament, he's towards the end of Israel's time in Israel, and they will be soon carried off to Assyria and then later to Babylon. And they have just endured a locust plague. So chapters 1 and 2 talk about this locust plague that would come in and just strip the land bare. The crops, the vineyards, just strip bare. Okay? Your plants out front, just strip bare. But God then gives back the promise. He says, you know what? If you return back to me, rend your heart, you repent and come back to me, I will heal your land. And he says, I'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Okay? In other words, I'm going to bring that back. That's verse 25, chapter 2. And then verse 28, he says, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Okay, are you all people? Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I find that kind of interesting that your old men will dream dreams because, again, it comes back to that idea that the older we get, the less we tend to dream because reality sets in. So there's some points in your program here, and I want us to highlight these one at a time. First of all, dreams are a product of the Holy Spirit residing within us. And I don't know if you've ever really made that connection, but dreams are a product of the Holy Spirit residing within you. The main difference between a dream and a vision, I'm going to use them kind of synonymously this morning, is that a vision, you are technically awake, usually. We use that term when you're having this dream. We'd sometimes say maybe you're daydreaming, right? All right, but you're awake, where a dream is supposedly happens more at night, okay? But the first thing that I want us to catch is that dreams and vision are a product of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, not every dream or every vision is of God, is it? Okay? But I wouldn't even discount some of the dreams that we have as a child. Some of the very just things that we've enjoyed doing. You know, one of the dreams that I've had since fairly young is just to have an acreage, have a house where I could see the sunrise and sunset. Okay? All right? And Gina likes sunsets. And God gave her her house, so she has a sunset. So, but I just want that acreage where I could have maybe see deer, turkeys, things like that, just to enjoy that. That is something that replenishes me, it refreshes me, makes me feel alive. So that's a dream. Is that anything spiritual? No. But I think it is part of who I am and how God created me, whether that dream will ever happen or materialize. That's God, right? I mean, you can plan and put that in there, but God maybe even has greater dreams. But I don't discount those, because sometimes even what seems to be a human dream that comes from our own desires and our own wants can actually be in the direction of what God has for our life. Okay? Now, He may tweak it a little bit, or maybe a lot, but it wouldn't surprise me if that even some of the dreams that we have, God wants to use those for His glory and His honor. So not every dream is of God, but many of them are. And as the people of God, which should not surprise us, that God would speak to us in this way, just as He would maybe speak to us through a prophetic word, whether it's prophecy, message in tongues, interpretation, discernment. And as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe that God would impart to us dreams and vision that declare His word. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. Some of you have been raised in the church and in a Pentecostal church, and I don't know if you've ever heard a message on that. I can't remember hearing that. We talk about some of the other gifts of the Spirit, but we don't talk about God's dreams and His visions for His people. Why would God give us dreams and visions? Is there a reason for that? I think there is. That's point number two. You ready for it? Dreams are instrumental in bringing renewal, revival, and guidance for God's people. Now, it comes out of the context of our passage here. So through the prophet Joel, he says there's going to be dreams, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And the idea is that it's going to bring renewal to the people of God. God is going to renewal, He's going to refresh, He's going to bring back to new Israel's condition. Going to happen as God pours out His Holy Spirit. But He's communicating this through a dream and a vision. So within the context of the passage, God is talking about this idea of renewal, revival, and guidance for God's people. So I'm going to do just a quick survey of Scripture where dreams are mentioned. We're not going to catch them all, but we're going to catch a lot of key characters, okay? Dreams are a huge thing in guiding and bringing renewal and revival. So let's look at the first one. The first one is Joseph. Remember, Joseph has a dream, right? As a young man, he has a dream. And what does he do? He shares his dream with his brothers. And the dream wasn't one that they were too excited about, because it says, I'm the younger brother, but you older guys are going to bow down to me. And they didn't like that too well. In fact, they threw him into a pit. They were going to kill him. God spares him. He gets sent to Egypt. But you know what? The dreams don't end there, because he's elevated in Potiphar's house. Then he's thrown into jail. In jail, a cupbearer, and the baker both have dreams, right? And who interprets their dreams? Joseph. And then Pharaoh has a dream about a famine. He can't make sense about it. And guess who interprets his dream? The cupbearer and the baker said, you know what? No, one of them was killed. Which one was killed? One of them was killed. Huh? Cupbearer was killed? The baker was killed. He was the one with the baskets on his head. All right. So the baker's killed. All right. So one of them is still serving the king, and he goes, oh, I remember. Hey, there was a guy that interpreted my dream. His name is Joseph. So they bring him out of prison. He interprets the dreams for Pharaoh, and he's elevated to the second in command in one day, right? Dreams played a huge, and see, the dreams of Joseph would save the people of Israel in their infant stage. They were probably numbered a couple hundred people, and God would spare them through dreams. He would guide his people. It'd bring revival, renewal, and salvation for the people of God. Second person is Jacob. Jacob, you know, he's a little deceptive, right? When he flees, he tricks his brother Esau out of a blessing. He flees, and on his way to go see his uncle Laban, he has a dream. And God directs him and says, I'm going to be with you. When he's with his brother Laban, he comes with nothing and he leaves with all Laban's livestock, all right? And a lot of that, God gave him wisdom and dreams as to how to breed his sheep. You may not think that works, but it did for Jacob. God brings him back and he has another dream, Jacob's ladder, right? You talk about that, right? The angels were descending and ascending upon this ladder. God would renew his promise to him. It guided his life. Gideon was not the bravest warrior out there. In fact, he was hiding in a time that the Philistines, the Midianites, were oppressing the people of God, the Israelites. God speaks to him. He is reluctant to trust God, and they do the fleece thing, right, and assures Gideon. And then Gideon is ready to go out with this army. It's not a big army, but it was going to do, and then God begins to narrow it down like to 300, right? And during the night, Gideon has a dream, and it's of this big loaf of bread, barley loaf, and it rolls over the Midianites. And that was his message, that with this small army, they would defeat the Midianites. And that's what happened. They even turned on themselves, and all they had to do out there is just kind of go clean up. But there, the dream assured Gideon and guided him and gave him the confidence he needed. Saul mentions in 1 Samuel 28, if you want to go look at that, he mentions that to Samuel, the prophet, that God no longer was speaking to him in dreams. Why? Because of Saul's disobedience. He disobeyed God three different times we know of. And so God removes the Spirit of God from Saul's life, his ministry, as king. And with that, Saul no longer has God's guidance in dreams. So it's specifically mentioned there that God no longer speaks to me in dreams. So dreams were seen as something that came with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Solomon is anointed as king over Israel after David. And on the night he takes office, he has a dream. And God appears to him and says, I'll give you three things, wealth, fame, or wisdom. Which one do you want? And Solomon says, I'll take wisdom. And God says, because you chose wisdom and chose wisely, I'm going to give you wealth and fame as well. But God appeared to him in a dream and spoke to him. Daniel. Now, Israel is taken to Babylon. They're in captivity. And God appears to Daniel in dreams. Not only in dreams, but then many of the things, the prophetic words that Daniel writes were dreams. Okay, but then Daniel would interpret dreams for several different kings and help them understand what was happening, right? What these dreams meant. So they played a key role in Israel's just renewal and guidance in the direction of the people of God. Mary and Joseph, right? I think Joseph had a dream assuring him that he wasn't supposed to divorce Mary, that God was going to be with him. An angel appears to him in a dream, right? And then the fear of losing their child, right? The king was going to come in and destroy their child, and so they're warned in a dream to flee to Egypt, right? And then they're told in a dream that it's safe to come back. So there God was guiding and directing their lives through dreams. And then if you look at that word visions, you got Abraham, you got Jacob, and you have all the prophets that God would use dreams and visions to lead and direct, and sometimes they became prophetic words for the people of God. As God's Spirit rests on the lives of His believers, He will impart dreams and visions that will guide His people and propel His kingdom forward to bring revival, renewal, and direction. And I don't know if you've ever seen dreams like that or visions, but I believe it is a product of the Holy Spirit that comes upon our lives. And there's times where I've had to say, okay, I know there's dreams and there's just weird dreams out there, but there's other dreams I've had to say, God, are you speaking to me through this? And you have to kind of go through a process and say, God, was that from you, or is this just bad pizza, okay? Or weird pizza, all right? Okay? All right? I don't know why pizza has its reputation for that, but it does. So let's look at point number three. The Holy Spirit has the power to make dreams come to life. See, God is the giver of dreams by His Spirit, and He has the power to make these dreams become a reality. He's just not putting things out there and saying, ha-ha, you know, this is what I'd like for your life, and then nothing happens, right? God has the power and the ability to bring those dreams to reality and to guide and direct His people. And so to do that, I want to just point out three different examples of that in the New Testament. First of all is Peter. Jesus was crucified, resurrected, the ascension takes place, Pentecost takes place, which for us would be May 20th this year. That'd be Pentecost, when God would pour out His Spirit. And after that, Peter would be out in the countryside, a smaller town, I think it was in Joppa, and he would be getting ready for supper. Okay, supper is being cooked and prepared. He can smell it. He's getting hungry. His stomach's growling. He's up on the roof praying, and he could smell the food coming up, right? Smelling good. He could taste it in his mouth. And as he's up there, all of a sudden he has this dream and a vision. What does he see? He sees a sheet, and it's all full of animals. What kind of animals? Unclean animals. A lot of pigs, okay? All right? Which for a Jewish person is not kosher, right? It's considered unclean. And Peter says, no way, I won't eat that, Lord, even though I'm hungry. She goes back up three times. Finally, God says, don't call unclean what I've called clean. Kind of like, what does that mean, God? And He says, there's some people that are going to come to the house. You need to go with them. So some Roman soldiers come to the door and say, you need to come with us to Cornelius' house. Now, you just put it in perspective. Okay, it's more than just like the police come into your house, okay? The Roman soldiers had just killed who? Jesus. Okay, probably a few months had passed. Okay, but now they're coming to the house. I think that unnerved me a little bit. And now he's being asked to go to a Gentile house, which many times Jewish people wouldn't want to go into a Gentile's home because of the restrictions. But God gives him a vision to prepare him for what God was going to do. And so Peter, because of the vision, cooperates, follows these men. They go to Cornelius' house. He was a God-fearing man. He preaches, Peter preaches, they are saved, they're baptized, and God pours out even His Holy Spirit while Peter is preaching. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, which was kind of like this watershed mark for them, because all of a sudden they realize, you know what, God is not only pouring out His Spirit on the Gentile, on the Jewish people, He's also pouring it on the Gentiles. And that was a huge thing, because up to that moment, the Jewish people did not think the Gentiles could be saved. In fact, when it said all people, they didn't even consider the Gentiles all people, because they saw all people just the Jewish people. And God began to push their boundaries of what all people meant and who salvation was for. It wasn't just for the people of Israel. It was for all people. That happened through a vision. Second person I want us to look at is Paul. In Acts chapter 9, he is on his way to persecute the Christians. He was one of the chief persecutors in the early, that brought persecution to the early church. And as he's on his way to Damascus, he's blinded, right? He's blinded. He has a vision of Jesus. He speaks face-to-face with Jesus, becomes instrumental. He's blinded, but it becomes instrumental in his conversion for one thing, but also he's called to be a light to the Gentiles. That happens through a vision. And it would so transform his life that that would become his sole focus in life, and he would endure persecution and obstacles, you name it. He would carry that out. So it was a very powerful moment in his life. But then in Acts chapter 16, he wants to go north. I believe it's on a second missionary journey. He wants to go north. And that's He's going to go there, and all of a sudden God closes the door. Now, we're not told why, how God closed the door. All we know is that God closed the door. He says, God closed the door. All right? And so that night he has a dream and he has a vision. And what is the dream? What is the vision that God gives him? Come to Macedonia. Man calling him over to Macedonia. And so Paul then would get on a ship the next day. They would go to Macedonia. The first place they'd end up is in Philippi. And God would give them productive ministry in Philippi. Then they'd go to Thessalonica, Berea. They got chased out of town in those places. They end up in Athens. Athens was a tough place. But then he'd go to Corinth, and God would give them great ministry in Corinth. But there again, the persecution, people were following him along and persecuting him. And he wanted to leave, but then again, in Acts 18, God appears to him in a vision and says, I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay. I'm going to protect you and watch over you. And so Paul would stay there for like 2 years before he would move on. That happened through dreams and through visions. See, God uses them to guide and direct his people as the Spirit of God is upon their life. There's one final one that I want us to take a look at. The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. For some of you, it's your favorite book. You know, we've been studying John, haven't we? The Gospel of John. And so this would be the last book that he would write. And John was the disciple that is called the one that Jesus loved. The disciple that Jesus loved, right? But John has a vision. They tried, out of the 11 disciples, okay, you know, Judas betrayed, he hung himself. But out of the 11, 10 would die as martyrs. They tried to kill, poison John. He survived, so they put him on the island of Patmos, this barren island, to live out his life. And this is what he says in verse 9 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 9. He says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering in the kingdom and patient endurance that are yours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos. Because the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So in other words, he's there because of what he proclaiming Christ. Verse 10, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. What was the Lord's day? Sunday. So I think if he'd have meant Saturday, he would have said Sabbath. So the Lord's day. So they began to worship on Sundays after the resurrection because that was the day he was resurrected. So I believe it was Sunday. So he says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And as he was worshiping God, as he was in the Spirit, I heard a voice behind me like a trumpet. Okay, okay, loud, probably just really proclaiming. And the trumpet sound, the voice said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, these are churches that Paul was instrumental in starting as he went on his missionary journeys, okay? So we talked about Paul. And so now God wants to speak through John a final message to these churches in these first several chapters of Revelation, and then he goes into more end time stuff after that. I turned around to see the voice of the one that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Among the seven lampstands, so the different churches, I saw one like the Son of Man. But see, John is a little bit taken back, I think, because the one that he used to sit next to and recline at the table with and partake a meal with looks a little different. Why? Because he was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were as white as wool, white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. Think about that. And his feet were glowing like they were in a furnace. You ever seen hot metal just glowing? And his voice was like the sound of a rushing water. You ever been to like a waterfall, rushing river? In his right hand he held the seven stars, again those seven churches, and out of his mouth came a double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun, radiant, shining in all of its brilliance. And when I saw, I fell at my feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive, and ever and ever I will hold the keys to death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in your right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. You know, and before John's death, he would have this vision that would provide guidance, revelation for us, for his church. Not only for those churches, but for us still today, because the message of Revelation is, behold, I am coming soon, and be ready, isn't it? And we even learn from just Ephesus and Sardis and Laodicea. Some of them were lukewarm, some of them were red hot, some of them had endured persecution. But we learn from their story as well, what God had spoken to his people through a dream. Dreams are very powerful, especially when they flow from the Spirit of God. You know, and as I read through these, I look at the church in America, and the church in America is stumbling. Just because we have lost that passion, that edge that is propelling us forward. And could it be that we are not as filled with the Spirit of God as we would like to be? Is it true or possible that we are not having the divine dreams and visions breathed into us by God's Spirit that propel us forward? I believe that we are too caught up in sometimes the dreams of our flesh instead of having God's dreams. Amen? Let me have the musicians come. I don't know why I don't hear a lot of these, you know, Kat, you came in and said you had a dream. Yeah, that's kind of a cool one. We'll give it to God, right? Give it to God. I think there's a lot of reasons why we don't have dreams and visions. But see, the promise of Joel is that in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. I believe that God desires to guide and direct his people. And I believe that dreams and visions can be instrumental for God speaking through his people to bring renewal to our land, to bring healing to our land and revival. But I just don't hear a lot of dreams and visions. But I believe that God can do that as he places his Spirit on us. Amen? I remember, it's before we left our first church, I remember we're having a prayer meeting. Is that kind of like a coffee house, bed and breakfast type of deal? And some ladies had kind of organized it from our church, and they asked me to come and be part of that. I remember just praying there, and I remember, I don't know, God just began to place his Spirit upon me, and there was just some dreams in my life that I wasn't seeing happening in my timetable. You ever had those? You sense God speaking to you, and you have those dreams, and it's kind of like you're looking at the clock and think, God, come on, I'm ready. And I just remember pouring my heart out to God, nobody else, but to God. And God has honored some of those dreams, and he's brought them, some of those are still out there. About this time last year, I was out at Virginia for one of my classes. It was my class that was kind of a retreat format. And one of our exercises we just had in the morning, we gathered and we had a prayer time, and then our instructors gave us some seeds, and we just kind of took those seeds. They were a symbol of the dreams that God had placed within our hearts. And after a time of prayer, we were just supposed to find a place to scatter or plant those seeds. And the thing about those seeds, if they represent dreams, what happens to a seed? You plant it, you broadcast it, and what happens to it? It dies, doesn't it? And we release control. The minute it leaves our hand, we kind of release control of it, don't we? But see, then we put it in God's hands, and he has the power to make those things happen. And to me, that was a very powerful exercise, because sometimes the dreams we have, we hold on to very closely, and we think that we have all the power to make those come to pass. And sometimes we do play a role, absolutely. But some of those dreams are only going to happen as God breathes life into them and renews them. And when we surrender to them to him and say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm letting it die. God, If it's yours, you bring it back to life and you make it happen. Amen? God will make it happen. Question I have for you, first, are you open to the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life? Are you listening to His voice? Do you have the attitude of Samuel that said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens"? Remember, God spoke to him just as he was a young man, and he learned to develop and hear the Spirit of God. And third, will you act upon the dreams that He's placed within your heart and follow His way and the dreams? That's my prayer for you this morning. And have those that are going to help out with prayer, if you'd make your way forward. And I want to lead us in a prayer. Father, this morning, we all have dreams. Some have just come from our heart, but some of them have divine inspiration and they flow from your Spirit. And Lord God, I pray that you would just speak to us this morning, even some that maybe we thought these dreams are dead, they've died. Some of us have stopped dreaming. We felt, what's the use to dream anymore, because my dreams have failed, they've died, I tried. There's not the money, there's not the resources. We stopped dreaming. And God, this morning, I just pray by your Spirit, you would just come over this place and into our lives. And Lord, help us to dream again. Because dreams are what fuel us. It keeps us from just living life to living a life with purpose, with fulfillment, with intention, with passion. We don't have a dream, we don't have the passion. We don't have the desire. We don't have the momentum in our life, Lord, the drive. So, Lord God, speak to our hearts. I just believe this morning that you are going to come and fill this place by your Spirit. We give you the thanks today, dear God. Would you stand with me this morning? We got people up front that would be willing to pray with you, if, just to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you haven't made that your prayer, if you've never, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, God is here. He wants to meet you this morning. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to give you the hope of salvation. He wants to release you to do His work and His ministry. If you need just somebody to agree with you in prayer for healing, for a prayer request, a miracle in your life, we just invite you to come and we'll agree with you in prayer this morning. But let's sing this chorus this morning just as our prayer. Take all that I have in these hands and multiply them, God. Let's make that our prayer this morning. Father, this morning as we leave this place, my prayer is just, God, that your Spirit would be upon our lives. You've given us your Holy Spirit to empower your church. And Lord, and before you can empower us to do, we have to know our purpose. We have to know direction and your plan for our lives. And that begins with, Lord God, you speaking to us dreams of what you've called us to do. And Lord God, I pray, Lord, if we've stopped dreaming, God, that you would again stir our heart and our life and just pour out your Spirit upon our lives. Refresh those dreams that are of you, Lord God. Guide your people. Lord, let us live with passion. Let us live with direction and purpose, carrying out the will of God in our life. Lord, we give you the thanks. We give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, we ask. And everybody said, amen. Shake a hand. Tell them to live their life with purpose.